Praise the Lord. God's good, isn't he? We thank him that he's faithful. And we sing songs about he's faithful to us. And I often think when I'm singing it, and I sing it with all my heart like you do, I think, Lord, help me to be faithful to you. Sometimes we just want all the faithfulness to come this way, don't we? I wonder whether the Lord sits on his throne next to his Father and says, look, Father, look down there. Look how faithful they are to the call that I've put in their hearts. Help me to be faithful, Lord. Glory to God. I wonder if it's because I'm a Rotherham lad. You ain't got no stones, have you, to throw at me? I'm a Rotherham lad. And because I'm a Rotherham lad, obviously I've got some concerns in my heart for Rotherham. It's only 6 miles down the road, so it's not a foreign territory, is it? Do you know what's happening at Rotherham right now? Right at this moment. You can't see it, but there's posters all over Rotherham. And those posters say this. Let me read it to you. It says, new wave versus mind, body and spirit. Rotherham takeover. Free entry, free talks, free parking. Sunday 19th of October 2025, 10 o'clock until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Psychics, healers, therapists, crystals, witchcraft and pagan wares. Health and lifestyle wares and consumables, art, handmade and artisan goods and more. My response? How dare the enemy come and park on our land? Rotherham, like Sheffield, has been prayed over for years and years and years and years. How dare the devil come and camp on our patch? You're the church. Jesus said he gives you authority over all the power of the wicked one. Amen. You might not be able to stand, but if you can you just stand with me? And we're just going to raise up the banner, and we're just going to say, because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, are we? We're wrestling with principalities and powers, and we're saying, Satan, get off the territory. You're not permitted to camp on our patch. We raise up the banners against you, Satan. And we stand in the name of the Lord of hosts. If God is for us, who can be against us? Glory to God. So your church, Lord, raises up this standard, this banner. And it said when the enemy comes in like a flood, you will raise a standard against him. And I pray right now, Lord, down in that center, I pray confusion will abound. That you will bring down the intentions of hell. That people who go along innocently will not be ensnared. Will not be trapped by the wicked one. So Satan, we rebuke you as the church of Jesus Christ. And we claim salvation shall flow like a river. Bless the churches of Rotherham today. May their worship bring terror to the camp of the enemy. May your name be exalted this day. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the conquering Savior, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. I just want to bring a few thoughts to you. I had a few thoughts in Latvia just the other week and had to speak to a group of people. And that was that as far as I was concerned. And I prepared another message for here because Pastor had given me plenty of time. And then I felt that that same thoughts plus some new stuff, I got to speak. And I thought, Lord, I've done that in Latvia. But sometimes, and for his glory, we have to obey, don't we? All the times we have to obey. So would you just turn with me to Psalm number 63. Psalm 63. And just the first four verses. Psalm 63, verse 1 to 4. And David is writing, but he's writing in the wilderness. You know, sometimes we are in a wilderness, we feel like, God, what's gone wrong? Everything's gone wrong. How can I praise you? How can I know you in a wilderness? But you know, oftentimes that's where God reveals himself. It's not just in the good, happy, clappy days, but he reveals himself to us, even in desperate times. Can anybody say amen? Amen. We've known it, haven't we? In our testimonies, we can say it. So here's the verses 1 to 4. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you upon all that you have done in the sanctuary, to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. Thus I will bless you. While I live, I will lift up my hands in your name. Glory to God. Can you say that? Lord, I'll lift up my hands to your name, in your name, and be glorified while I do it. Amen. I just want to kind of challenge us, my heart too. I want to say, and I've loved this morning's service, I love the worship. And I want to say to us, is this it? Is this the pinnacle of our expectations? Have we climbed to the top of the mountain? Have we beheld him in all his glory? Is the Western Church, how we are at this moment in time, is that what we've longed for? David says, I've longed for you in a dry and thirsty land. And my heart, and I'm sure many of yours too, we long for more of God. We long to see played out in Sheffield, in Rotherham, in Great Britain. We long to see the moving of the Spirit, so that if you read the book of Acts this morning and you read what God's doing in his church today, you'd say, they match. Glory to God. I want to see a church on fire. When I say a church, I'm not just meaning this one. I'm meaning the church. Universally, in these end days, we want to see God moving with mighty power and glorifying his own great name. Hallelujah. Is this what Jesus desired? This is the fulfillment of his prayers to his Father. Father, build my church. Help me to see your glory, Father, through the church in this day and generation. Did he ever intend to start the church with great power and great authority for it then to all evaporate by the time we get to 2025? Is that his vision for the church? I want to say, dear brother and sister, I believe that Jesus is coming back for a glorious, victorious church, the like of which you and I have never seen with these mortal eyes. I've heard about it. I've read about it. But my heart longs and yearns for the moving of God's Spirit, so that when we come together, the power of God is so strong amongst us that the sick are healed, even while we're singing our worship. Even while you're singing the first line of the first verse of whatever, then God's Spirit starts to move from the rows at the front to the rows at the back. And from the back to the front, we can sense God is amongst us. Praise His name. That's the kind of church Jesus longs for. The kind of people He's looking to bring together. Are you halfway up the mountain? Have you even started maybe some Christians camp right at the bottom of the mountain? They're happy. They're content. But I want to say, Father, God Almighty, help us. You have made so that we can come up the mountain to fellowship with You, to engage with Your holiness and Your power and presence. Do you remember the time when Peter, James, and John were invited up the mountain? They'd seen Jesus do great things. They'd walked with Him, they'd talked with Him, they'd slept at the same place as He slept. Sometimes that was under an hedge row. "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head," said Jesus. And they'd seen when He began to speak the power and authority that was in those words, that even the demons began to tremble and cry out, "Have you come to destroy us?" was the voice of one demonic spirit. And yet for Peter, James, and John, Jesus longed for them to see Him in a greater understanding, a greater revelation. So He said to them, "I want you to come with Me up the mountain. I want you to be ready. We're going for a walk." When Jesus invites you for a walk, my friend, leave everything else aside. Leave all the other arrangements you've got. Let nothing take priority when you feel the Spirit of God is leading you to walk and march up the mountain. He's got something more to show you. Do you believe that He has got more to show us? That the church of 2025 ain't seen it all yet. We've not entered into it all yet. That He has got much more to reveal to you and to show us in this church, the Rock Christian Center. I believe it's going to be the center of the activities of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be that from this place will flow such a mighty river of God's grace and power that it's going to shake the communities. It's going to move them in a way like they've never imagined, and oftentimes we've never imagined. "I want you to come up the mountain," said Jesus, and He was transfigured before them. I can't go into all the transfiguration story. That's another preach altogether. But what I want us to note is, have you noticed to see Him in more glory than you see Him today, you have to go up the mountain? Have you noticed that? You have to make the effort to keep the time to go with God further. And the rest of the crowds are down at the bottom of the mountain. They're down at the bottom. God is not being selective in the sense that they don't want you, but I'll have a few goody-goodies, blue-eyed boys. God don't do that. He's waiting for you and me to be ready for the revelation He wants to show us, for the things He wants to reveal to our lives. My friend, if you don't go further up the mountain, you ain't going to see nothing that I'm about to say. You have to. It's not an alternative. You can choose what you want in the sense of, oh God, show yourself to me down here. No, you've got to go further with him. You know, Hebrews chapter 12 says, you have come to Mount Zion. Who else? You and me. So this story of going up the mountain with God is not just something for the old boys of the Old Testament, nor for the boys and the girls of the New Testament. It's for you and me today to go up the Mount Zion to an innumerable company of angels. Wow. You know, some people may be thinking, now, is he talking Chinese or what? Has he gone a bit too far, Pastor, rein him in? Well, he might do that afterwards anyway, but... But I'm trying to say, friend, God has got much more to show you. It's like being satisfied with a plate of crumbs at dinner time. Sunday dinner. Come to our house for Sunday dinner. And we come to your house and you think, what? There's a few crumbs on the plate and that's your Sunday dinner. I expected like roast beef, Yorkshire pudding, that kind of stuff. And friends, we become so satisfied with spiritual things that are of a minimum content. We can never get strong. We can never become mature. We always wobble and faint and fall when the enemy attacks us because there's no maturity in us. There's no food to quench our longings. You find these things up the mountain. You're going to hear me say it a few times. Remember for John, who had been up that Mount of Transfiguration. That's it, John. You've seen, you've had your lot. No. You remember John on Patmos? Remember John? He's an old boy now. And I want to say, God don't give up on us old uns. God has still got more revelation to show us old uns. I remember the times when I could have sat where you were sitting and say, I'm a young un. I'm not an old un, I'm a young un. And the years have gone by so quickly. But I want to say God has not finished with us yet. To the oldest person sat on a seat in this church today, God has not finished with you yet. He's not finished showing you things you've never seen before. And John, when he went up the Mount of Transfiguration, he must have thought, whoa, this is it. This is revival. Glory to God. And God said, hey, I ain't finished with you yet. And so John on the Isle of Patmos, it was revealed to him great and wondrous things that we have found written in the book of Revelation. Can I say about the mountain experience? The mountain is not just for emergencies. Can I say that again? The mountain is not just for emergencies. You know what I'm saying? Some Christians aren't bothered about mountains. I'm all right here. Leave me alone. I can know God. Yeah, you can. I don't need to go to church now because, you know, since the COVID, I enjoy with my cup of coffee just watching. Do you know Jesus is coming back for his church? He's coming for his bride. He's the head of the church. I emphasize that on a purpose. And the mountain is used for emergencies. Something's happened, a crisis, and we come running, and we expect the church to gather together for all-night prayer meetings. We expect them to, brother, sister, come every time, and we'll stand with you. Come every time, and we'll help to hold up your hands. But don't let it be the only time that you come up the mountain with us. Do you know, I'm staggered And I think, God, what do you have to do to the British church for us to be awakened to the absolute necessity of prayer, corporate prayer? There's an emergency going on out there, Lord. There's crisis in government. There's crisis in finance. There's crisis all over the place. There's threats of wars. There's been wars. There still is wars. What does God have to show us before the church does its job as being God's emergency service? You hear what I'm saying? You know, what if somebody's drowning, the boat is sinking, and the lifeboat people are just having a party? Royal National Lifeboat Institute, but they're all away having a party. And the boat is sinking. And my friend, if God's Spirit is doing anything at all, if God's Spirit is speaking to the church at all, He's awakening the church to the urgency of the hour, to the time needed for prayer and intercession before God. And we don't have to wait while the walls are falling down and Britain is on its knees and we don't know what else to do, because in the world we are sinking fast. God wants His church alive and alert, so that now, before these end times absolutely smash upon nations of the world, the church is already interceding. The church is already weeping between the porch and the altar. The church is waiting on God. When Jesus issued the cry from the cross, and we quote it and we know it, when Jesus cried, "It is finished," what happened next? Is that a phone call from heaven? Has anybody got the number of the line? My Lord. Can you see? I'll apologize now, Pastor. No, no. Pastor said, not if God's calling. Yeah, when Jesus cried from the cross, "It is finished." We know the importance of that cry. We know that when He cried and it went across the airwaves, heaven, hell heard the cry of the Redeemer. We love to go on and say the veil in the temple was rent in two, from the top to the bottom. Not the bottom, for in case the skeptics could say, "Oh, well, somebody were tearing it." No, from the top to the bottom. And I can't go into all the dimensions of that curtain. You couldn't have just tore it. But when the veil was rent in two, what was it for? It was to give you and me entrance into the very presence of God. Whoa! Entrance! You and me! You know, the Jewish nation had never been allowed into the presence. They were always kept back. There was always a guard, heavenly guards on duty to keep everybody, except that high priest once a year was kept back from the presence of God. Now the veil has been rent. Now you and me are allowed to go into a privileged place where we can make our hearts known to God, where we can behold Him, where we can look upon Him and know His presence washing all over us. I want to say, friend, did Jesus tear the veil in two? For nothing? Because we never bother going into His presence. We never bother climbing the mountain. We just want all the goodies to come from the mountain and land in our lap. Preferably on the settee. When I've got a cup of coffee in my hand. And a nice snack that the wife just made. Give me an easy come blessing, Lord. But I want to say, friend, when Jesus cried, "It is finished," and the veil was rent in two, my intention is, I'm going in. I'm going in. I'm going in to His presence. I'm going in to His provision. I'm going in to all that He wants to show me and teach me. I'm going in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going into the throne room. I'm going into the place where He dwells. I want Him and His presence to change my life. Glory to God. I don't want to be a Christian that just sits on a seat every Sunday. That's my crumb. That's my sandwich for the week. Try letting your body live on one sandwich for the week. And you're going to be weak at the end of it. Oh, that men and women of today, of this 2025 generation, shall rise up in God. And like David says, like that deer pants for the water brook, my soul longs after You. Do you know that longing, friend? Do you know that deep urge inside of you that when we have the opportunity to enter the presence, we go right in? When He saw, in the book of Revelation, He saw the crowds, the angels, the elders, the seraphims, myriads, myriads, myriads that no man could number. Have you noticed what their worship was? It's all about the Lamb. Worthy, worthy, worthy. It's not about me. Worship is not about me. It's not about you. It's about Him. And you know, my dear brother and friends, and I'm not here to criticize. I want to say, when I examine my heart and see some of the worship that I bring Him, oftentimes it's more about what I need and a little bit about who He is. When to worship the Lamb and join our songs with those that are already around the throne, you will find you change tune, you change the words, and you begin to focus on Jesus, and your song is all about Him. Amen. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit will never put the spotlight on you and me. He will always put the spotlight on Him who is seated on the throne. His name is Jesus. His name is the conquering Savior. His name is the blessed Lamb of God. His blood has cleansed us and washed us from our sins. Blessed be His name. Blessing and honor and power and glory. That's what they were singing. That's what they were singing. They sang and gazed upon the Lamb. If I was to look at David a little bit more close, I will find in Psalm that we've just read, verse 2, I have seen You in the sanctuary. I've seen You. Let me put it in modern language. I went to church on Sunday. And it was great to see my brothers and sisters. But oh, the Holy Spirit showed me Him who is high and lifted up. Flesh don't cavort, don't show off when you see Jesus. There's no room to glory in talent. There's no room to sit and criticize because she hit the wrong note. My friend, It's not critics that stand around the throne. It's not the critics that come into his presence. It's worshippers. It's worshippers. Sometimes we pick and poke. Sometimes we're trying to drag the speck out of somebody else's eye. When the Lord looks down and he says, you've got a beam in yours. I welcome you to come to my presence so that you could worship me. And all you're doing is criticizing my children. I'm not going to stand here and try and debate whether David saw the Lord in the earthly sanctuary, church, Sunday morning, or whether he was saying, I saw him in the heavenly sanctuary. All I know is, I ain't going to argue about which one, but I do know the definite of the churches need to recover their vision of the one that is seated on the throne. We need to recover the one before whom we stand. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. Wow, I saw the Lord. And his train, his glory, fill the temple. Can you imagine? Walking through that door or that door, whichever door. Come through the window if you want. But I want to say, as soon as you step in, oof, you feel tangible. Whew, I can feel the presence of God. My brother and sister, if I'm a child of God, I should know the presence of God. Do you know that we, even when we went in prisons for 26 years on a Friday, there were times when them prisoners said to us, when you lot come in on a Friday, something changes in the prison. I want to say, if the ungodly can feel the presence of God, how much more should we be in tune with God so that every one of us are absolutely right there, tuned in. The Holy Spirit only has to touch you and off you go. Whether that's a praise or a prayer or whatever, but you're tuned in. You're absolutely tuned in to the Spirit of God working and moving amongst us. Glory to his name. Me, you, the churches can never be the same once you've been in his presence. Once we've entered the worship of our King, when that sound has washed over you. Do you remember an old lady at Rotherham? I can see her now, Rotherham Church. It was in my years of rebellion and being the prodigal. I remember going in one Sunday morning to please mum and dad. This is nearly 20 years of age. And as I walked in, she didn't know I was there. This old sister, she was praying for Peter Morris. She was up on her feet. She was facing that way. I'd come in from the back that way. She didn't know. And she's praying, God save him. God break him down. And I was getting indignant. And I said to myself, not out loud, she will never see that. She will never see that. I tell you what, God listens to the prayers of old ladies who are powerful with him. That when they pray to the God of the heavens, God takes notice. Within a few months, old Mrs. Trevis, do you remember her? Old Mrs. Trevis, she sat there as a cocky young 20-year-old is walking down to the front of the church. Past 400 people, tears streaming down my cheeks, to bend my knee and to give my heart to Jesus. Her prayers had prevailed. Her prayers had reached the throne of God. She knew what it was to be standing in the presence of God. And I want to say to you, sisters and brothers, you that have been praying for years, keep praying. Your sons and daughters are coming home. Keep praying. Your loved one is coming home. Keep praying. Keep rejoicing. Don't let it wear you down or wear you out. Keep praising and praying, because God is going to do a miracle. Hallelujah. I got to shift fast now. David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord. Sometimes. I will bless the Lord at all times. Always, at all times, whatever. Have you noticed the word? I will bless the Lord. Oftentimes it's bless me, Lord. Nothing wrong with that prayer. But have you entered yet the place where your worship to God is when you come before Him in His presence, you've come to bless God? You say, how can I bless Him? He's the Almighty. He's got angels, seraphims. He's got the best bands and choirs. He's got perfection. How can I bless God? There's three places in the Bible, in the New Testament, where a ladies, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Do you remember? She came into the crowd, and the crowd wasn't very well receiving of what she felt in her heart. But she had come to bless the Lord. Whatever the critics said, whatever the critics wanted to do, she'd come to bless the Lord. And I want you to be honest with your own self and say, Lord, when did I last bless You? You have blessed me many times, but when did I last bless You, Lord? When did I come and open my alabaster box and pour it all over You? Whatever the crowd said, whatever the crowd did, whether they pulled their faces in an absolute sullen kind of, I want to say, friend, I'm going to bless the Lord as well. Are you going to bless Him? Going to reach out to Him? I'm going to have to leave off of this. But I want to say, brother and sister, when we've been in the presence, everything else looks different. I've told you the story before, I'm sure I did, when we was in the lighthouse, and there was three of us. It was not a lighthouse day. It was another day when we were doing some work that we were given permission to do, build a toilet, alter the showers. It was a Tuesday, and there was Pam and John Wilkinson and myself, and we were just working away, and suddenly, boom, the door burst open. And this young lady of about 24 years of age, beraddled, shot through the door. I nearly jumped out of my skin. It scared me. And she just shot through the door, air all over, and she went like, can't anybody help me? And she's lifting up her T-shirt, and you could count her ribs. Can anybody help me? And as I'm looking at this young lady, suddenly I felt the Lord say to me, and I'm not being super spiritual, but I felt it. If it's only me and that's it, because I were a bit thick, But the Lord said this to me, they shall be mine in the day when I make up my jewels. And I'm looking at this young lady, still shocked by what was happening. And as I looked at her, I saw a change. And suddenly, she's dressed in princess's clothes. And I could see how Jesus sees them. It wasn't an heroin addict anymore. It was a daughter of the King. And that's what the presence does. Sometimes you go into his presence and you don't say a thing. You just sit there. But you feel his presence and he's changing your attitudes. He's changing the way you see things. He's giving you a heavenly perspective on what he's called you to do. Enter in his presence. I'm just about finished with what I'm going to do today. Has anybody heard of Pastor Jim Cimbala? Times Church, Times Square, New York. And I was reminding myself just last night, and how pastors can get it wrong. I said this to me. Jim Cimbala had been preaching three times. This was his last preach. And he was saying inside to God, oh God, help me to get through this preach. I'm just so tired. And he used his language, I'm bone tired. God, I don't even know I'm going to get through it. And then he began to speak to the congregation. As he was speaking, he noticed that five rows back, there was a guy sat there, very unkempt, hat, but held in his hand. And he could see by the posture of this man that he's really wanting to get the pastor's attention and he's wanting to come out to talk to the pastor. And the pastor, while he's speaking words to the congregation, is thinking, oh no, God. But he was so insistent, this man, that he began to realize, I'm not going to put him off. I'm going to get it done with. So he called him forward. And the guy came forward, these five rows, and he stood in front of Pastor Jim. And Pastor Jim said, oh, the smell took your breath away. Oh. He stunk to high heaven. And he stood right there. And oh, I would have to turn my head away to try and catch a bit of breath. And know that, okay, we have procedures in the church, and rightly so. If guys, girls come and they're trying to get money from us, then there's a procedure, because we're not just going to give them money to go out and blow it on the drugs and the drink, etc. So we have a procedure. But he said, I'm so tired tonight, I can't go through the procedure. I'm just going to give him some money. So the guy stood there. The stench is horrific. Pastor Jimmy stood here. And he reaches for his wallet, a money purse. And he brings out his wallet. And he counts $5. And he said, I'm going to give this to him. He passes him the $5. And the man, who turned out to be called David later, put his hand forward to the pastor and pushed the pastor's hands down. And the pastor looked at him. And he said to the pastor, I don't want your money. I want your Jesus. And Pastor Jim was shocked. He stood there and he said, I called on God. And I said, God, what two-bit a pastor have I become? That when you send in a man that is seeking you, when he's broken and hurt by life, all I'm trying to do is give him $5 and get rid of him. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Please help me. Please forgive my heart. You can see this for yourselves on your own iPhones or your iPads, etc. He says, as I began to look at him, and as I realized I was trying to buy him off with $5, the Lord said this to me. He said, if you can't stand the smell and the stink of this man, I will have to put you on the shelf. Because I smell that stink every day from a sinful, corrupt world. I smell the stench every day. If you can't love him, then I'll have to put you to one side. That shook Pastor Jim. It shook him when he learned one of the biggest lessons of his life. And my friend, that's why the presence is so important for you to be soaked in. For you to say, God, from this day, I'm going to make time. If you promise God 10 minutes, give him 10 minutes. You've promised not a man, you've promised the King of Kings that you will give him 10 minutes to affect your life, to affect your service. I suddenly had a word about the essence of his presence. And I thought, Lord, essence of your presence, what's that? And so I began to kind of just search around. Essence, it means this, this is the dictionary, the fundamental nature of something or someone. The fundamental nature of something or someone. The flavor. No Bible college can give you this. No organization can put it on you. It's only found in the presence. When you've been up that mountain and spent time with God, he affects you. You come from his presence and you might not notice any change, but other people will. Paul and Silas in a dark, dank prison begin praising, and the presence came down. Glory to God. You know, sometimes in your deep, darkest nights, start to praise. You say, what? Do you know what I'm going through? Start to praise. You wouldn't say that if you knew what I would. Start to praise. Let your worship ascend to God. And God can shake the inner prison and bring salvation to the jailer, his wife, his family, and they were all baptized. Glory to God. People, church, let's become people of his presence so that when you walk in the room, they can smell the flavor. They know that you've been with someone. They can tell. Even the demons can tell. Those dark, sinister forces of hell can tell when you're a man, you're a woman of the presence. Moses knew the presence so well, when he came back down the mountain, his face shone. He carried it, carried the presence. They even had to put a veil over his face because the presence was so strong. And when we have brothers and sisters in this church that become people of his presence, when you walk in, we will know. Oh, God. Let's just stand, can we? Precious Savior. I've heard that phrase this morning. Can't remember who said it, but it was this. Let's do business with God. Dare you say to God today, I want to become a woman who comes up the mountain to spend time in your presence. I want to become a worshiper, not a criticizer. I want to come and behold the Lamb. Everything else is wonderful, but Lord, I've come to see Jesus. We used to sing a song years ago, Open My Eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and to say that I love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help me to listen. Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. I don't know about you, but if anybody wants to say with me, more, Lord, more, if there's all this waiting for me, I want to enter in. If anyone wants to come and just stand with me here, I'm going to stand and I'm going to say, Lord, I want more. I need to come right into your holy presence. Then I'm just going to say, without pomp and ceremony, just come and stand here. Just come and stand, and we'll stand together and we'll say, Lord, this church wants more of you. My life, my family, my way needs more of your presence. I need you to change what I see into what you see. I need my heart to be flavored by your awesome aroma. Open my eyes. I want to see Jesus. Can the worship team just play? If nobody comes, well, I'm just going to stand there. And I'm just going to say, Lord, do a work in me. Change my heart. Precious Lord, let your holy fire fall afresh on me. I'm going to dare to pray like Pastor Jim over there in Times Square when he said, oh God, what have I become? And sometimes our hearts can become hard and indifferent, can't they? That's not because you're worse than me. It's because I'm like you. And my heart can become so untouchable. God sees you, precious people, standing in his presence, just expressing your own heart, your own desire to the Lord, just saying to God, God, we want to enter right in. We don't want to come halfway up the mountain. We want to come into fellowship with you in a deeper way. Spirit of the living God. Glory to God. My Savior, my Lord, my King. Jesus. Precious Lord. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh.